We have part of a budget so far. Still don't have the rest of it done. And people in Harrisburg still wrestling over what to do. A lot of name-calling back and forth. And with us this morning is a guy who's received some of that name-calling. He is the Speaker of the House of the Pennsylvania State Assembly. He is Mike Terzai, and he joins us here on the Gary Sutton Show. Mr. Speaker, good to have you in this morning. Good morning to you.
Gary, you're very kind to have me on. Thank you so much.
And thank you for taking the time to be with us. We have a little bit of a, we're having a tough time hearing you a bit, so we'll try to see if we can remedy that here. But you look at what has happened in this so far, and, you know, from your vantage point, there's been a lot of verbiage back and forth, I'll be kind on this, that has been pretty rough. And the governor has been laying quite a bit out. I heard John Hanger over the weekend on Pennsylvania Newsmakers talking a lot about things relating to you. I wanted to get your thoughts about, you know, what has happened to date here so far, and the measure that was signed in, the line item veto is signed in by the governor, and yet what remains to be done yet on this whole budget.
Gary, yes. And first of all, Gary, there hasn't been a lot of verbiage thrown from our side. And you resort, I think, people tend to resort to ad hominem or personal or gutter level attacks when they're not winning on policy or facts, right?
Right.
And, particularly if you also have lots of money to continue a full-time campaign operation, you know, when you continue to collect, independent expenditures, quote unquote, from the public sector unions like the Pennsylvania State Education Association, the Federation of Teachers, the food and commercial workers, you know, the service employees. That's who's funding these quote unquote independent ads, the same people that funded the governor and the Democratic Party's campaign election, not this past November, but the November before, and so we have not resorted to that. We stick to the facts. And here's the thing. Here we put three fiscally responsible budgets on the governor's desk. He vetoed it in total in June. He vetoed it in total in September. And this budget that most recently went to his desk represents almost a 3.6% growth in spending over last year's budget. Gary, the core rate of inflation in the United States of America, the rate of growth of the economy, the core number is 2%. The everyday number that we use, the non-core number, is less than 1%. And yet, we put a budget on his desk that did not need to increase the personal income tax up to 3.7% or by about $2.7 billion, did not increase the sales tax up to 7%, which would have represented about a $1.6 billion increase in sales taxes, particularly when people are working hard in an economy that's not growing, an economy that's essentially stagnant. And we still increased spend over last year, so this is a compromised budget, by almost 3.6%, including $400 million more in public education, which you and I know both are going to teacher salaries and benefits. That's what it's going to, right?
Right. And the other part of that whole thing, too, that a lot of us are concerned about is where that's going. You know, we see, for example, where a third of the money that that the governor wants to send out is going to Philadelphia. And we hear about ghost teachers down there, and we hear about people who are out negotiating contracts and things like that. And we're saying, is the money going into improving instruction and education in Philadelphia? Obviously, the numbers so far have said that it really isn't doing much just to throw money at the problem. And so many are concerned with the quality of the money that's being spent there and how it's being sent there. And I think those are things that need to have some more accountability added to them. And I think that's one of the concerns that a lot of the citizens I talk to out here have about that whole thing.
Gary, you are so right on. Do you know, I can get you the York numbers here. In fact, I can look them up. But I know my own districts by heart. Under the governor's formula for the money he wanted, the money he wanted in this year's budget, $486 per student was going to Philadelphia. I represent two school districts, North Allegheny and Pine Richland.
Right.
North Allegheny was going to get $55 per student, and Pine Richland was going to get $60 per student, while Philadelphia was going to get $486 per student. Now, I care every bit as much about every student in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, but that school district is graduating less than 60% of the students. And the students in charter schools, which are about, you know, what, 40% of the, you know, almost 40% of the kids in Philadelphia and their parochial schools, are getting far better scores for far less dollars per kid. And yet the governor's whole agenda item is to, quote-unquote, more money for public education, when we know he's sending it, and you know, and I know, look, I mean, from what I hear, the governor, I hear he supposedly, you know, has the place down in Mount Wolf, but then he lives off of Rittenhouse Square, and that's where he spends most of his time. You know, he'll dabble back and forth up to Harrisburg. But the reality is the governor wants to increase significant personal income taxes and or sales taxes, and he wants to send that money to where the Federation of Teachers and the Pennsylvania State Education Association wants to send it. And it's not coming back to the districts I represent, that's for sure. And in addition, there's no sense of accountability that he's asking for. I haven't heard the governor ever once say, here's what I'm demanding from the educational systems all across the Commonwealth. I've never heard it once.
And that's a problem that a lot of us have, and even right here in York, where we have a troubled school district in New York City, we went from talking about doing charter schools now to some other group that's studying them, and we're not quite sure where all that is going in the long run, and that was courtesy of the governor stepping in to that situation. So, listen, I don't have any problem with unions at all. I was a president of a teachers union at one point in time back in the 70s, but it was a responsible kind of thing, and I do believe there are responsibilities that we have there to be true about what we're doing. And as president of a union and early in my teaching career, Mr. Speaker, I was a guy that thought we were doing the right things for people, and we did it in an honorable way, and we, you know, we didn't go on strike, we didn't do any of that kind of stuff, but, you know, we were out there fighting for teachers. Now, I don't think, you know, when we look at the whole pension talk, when we look at all those kind of things, I think that we've strayed off that honorableness in that conversation. What do you think?
Sure. My dad, who's passed away, was a 35-year public school teacher. My brother, who I see all the time and helps me with my kids long gone, my three boys, is a public school teacher. I am not against public school teachers.
Right.
I'm not against public education. I've got kids in public school. I have two boys in public school. I've got one boy in Catholic school. That's where he wanted to go. It's a local Catholic school. It's not like the high end. That's where he wanted to be. Some of his friends are there. And I've got two in a public school. They're all getting a great education, every one of them. And we pay, just like I'm sure a lot of your folks do in the suburban New York districts, are paying a lot in taxes. But I know that I'm getting a return. I know that. But the fact of the matter is, we also have to balance that with respect to taxpayers. And in a down economy, where people are working two jobs, and or giving their family three jobs, you know, one of the spouses has one job, the other spouse has two jobs, then we're going to take more from their paychecks in either a personal income tax or when they go to buy things in a sales tax. And we're not going to tell them what they're getting for that. There's a problem. And we put a budget on this governor's desk at $30.265 billion, a 3.6% increase, almost a 3.6% increase over his last year's spend. And he doesn't have the decency to let it become law and fully fund everything. Now, all human services are being funded. All the federal pass-through dollars are being funded. Guess what? We had agreement on those lines back in June. 70% of those lines were agreed to. He could have done a line item veto in June. This is anarchical government, Gary. This is what this is about. It's growing up elitist and not caring about what happens to real people in their real lives. And he's had three budgets on his desk, and he's doing what he can because he can. And then he goes and runs a full-time campaign operation with the public sector union dollars on independent expenditures attacking everybody. I'm sorry, that's not governing.
Well, I think the thing that troubled a lot of us is the very point that you made here, which was you put a stopgap measure before him, I believe, back in November, or was it October? I can't quite remember. And
it was end of September, beginning of October.
There you go. And he vetoed it. I mean, flat out vetoed it outright. And the point that you're making now was in existence then, that 70% of the stuff was agreed upon, and yet he chose to make you know, students in Pennsylvania and also other people had needed that money hostage. And then, of course, he said when he signed the line item veto here at the end of the year, well, I don't want to keep them hostage anymore. Well, why would you make them hostage in the first place? I mean, why wouldn't you go to work on these other issues away from that? And why would you treat Pennsylvanians like that? And I think that's one of the biggest things that people are really upset about out here, at least the ones that I talk to, that he held anybody hostage in the first place.
There was no need. And here's the thing. The fact of the matter is we faced, when we took back the majority in 2011 after the 2010 election, and Governor Corbett came into office at the time, all the federal stimulus money was gone. That was the first year that it was all gone.
Yeah.
How convenient, right? And we really did face in front of us about a $4 billion, quote-unquote, deficit or differential, primarily driven by the fact that the federal stimulus money was gone. We delivered four budgets on time. Every one of them was delivered on time. We didn't increase personal income taxes or sales taxes any single time. What we did is we increased public education by $100 million in terms of state dollars. We went through all the line items, and we made tough decisions, particularly in the area of human services. And there was waste, fraud, and abuse there. There absolutely was. And we were able to get some significant reductions. It didn't change the delivery of services at all, as we saw over the next 3 years. And in addition, we looked at the state system, and we looked at the state-related, and we made some reductions there. And to be honest with you, I think a lot of those have were appropriately downsized in certain ways. And you know what? We made those tough decisions. We were responsible, and we provided predictability and stability to the recipients of state tax dollars. And we were responsible to the people paying the bill. And you know, our two big taxes in Pennsylvania, that really bring in revenue, are a sales tax at 6%, in my county at 7%. And the personal income tax, which stands at 3.07%.
Right.
We have business taxes, we have cigarette taxes, we have, believe it or not, we have energy output taxes, we have a variety of others. But the drivers of revenue tend to be personal income tax because they're broad-based, and sales taxes.
Right. So at the end of this, I mean, where does the money come from now? I mean, you guys had a thing before where it was, we're going to raise the sales tax significantly. Well, that went off the table. You got to raise taxes somewhere, and a lot of people are tired of seeing the taxes raised.
Gary, first of all, this budget that's on the governor's desk at 30.265 did not entail any need to increase personal income taxes or sales.
No, I understand that.
And let me just say this, and keep in mind, it's a 3.5% growth over last year's spend, almost 3.6. Here's the thing. Revenues actually came in higher than we predicted them to from the 14-15 budget, the last budget we did under Corbett. We were always very conservative, small c conservative. I don't mean in a...
No, I understand what you're saying. Sure.
Yes. We were very cautious in our predictions as revenues, unlike Brendel for 8 years. We always took from the projections of the independent fiscal office or from the governor's office, from both, we would look at them, and we would always land right in the middle or just below the middle. That's what we would do. We never pushed those revenue estimates, and we would kind of just ride it right down the middle. And they came in, I think it was like something like $400 million more. So that's number one than what we predicted. And then secondly, we have indicated that we are certainly open to tobacco taxes. We have had that discussion. We are open to it. Could bring in some revenue. And in addition, given the budget that we have in front of us, particularly given the governor's line item vetoes, he took the state system back to where they were on the 14-15 budget. This budget is absolutely imbalanced.
And I'm going to jump in on you right there for a second, Mr. Speaker, because we have to run to a break. But I want to come back and pick up on that and continue our talk here on what is left to decide here and how are we going to pay for it. And What about the waste, fraud, and abuse in state government? Could we clean out some areas right now and find some of that money, too? That's always a never-ending question. I'm sure Mr. Terzai is tired of answering, but we'll ask him that question when we come back here on the Gary Sutton Show. It's News Radio 910 WSBA. Welcome back to the Gary Sutton Show on WSBA with Speaker of the House and the Pennsylvania State Assembly, Mike Terzai, joining us here this morning. And, Mr. Speaker, we've got a caller, John in Red Lion, who had a question for you. John, go ahead. You're on with the Speaker of the House. Good morning, John.
I was under the impression that the students that go to charter schools and those types of schools will probably be making up the tax, pay the tax rather than the other students that maybe won't be paying that much.
Let me get you an answer here. Then go ahead, Mr. Speaker.
I apologize. I'm not quite sure I get the question, but I will say this. There are obviously there are charter schools. It's a small percentage of the 1.8 million students in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, which is a declining enrollment, for Pennsylvania. And I will just say that under the governor's proposal, of any new money that he wanted, $681 per student would be going to the York City School District, whereas the lowest one in York County would be $88. That would be Southwestern School District, and $86 in the Northern York County School District. There has been a serious disconnect between the amount of taxes we're taking from citizens and how that money is getting sent back out. I know a lot of times people like to well, with the local taxes. We have always had an approach in Pennsylvania whereby the state has empowered local communities to collect taxes for education, whether it be property or earned income. And I think there should be options on the local level. But the one thing I want to tell people, do not be careful what you ask for. If you want the state of Pennsylvania to collect all the taxes, which would be personal income tax increases and sales tax increases, do not think that money is going back to your local district like the local taxes do.
Right.
At least the local taxes are staying right in your community.
Mr.
Helping your real estate values and educate your kids. That's the only thing I want to tell people.
Mike, I want to ask you a question here. We've heard an awful lot of talk about, and the governor comes back to this, and I listened to Mr. Hanger the other day, who's the governor's, one of the chief architects. Some would say he is the governor right now, but we won't go that far yet. But I heard him say on Sunday that, we have this deficit on education spending, and, we have to get $1 billion back, and we have a $1 billion deficit. I've heard it over and over again. I've heard it debunked. And for a while, I thought it had gone away, but it's back in all its glory. And again, the $1 billion, we've hammered this home, was a one-time expenditure by the federal government that, as you pointed out previous to the break here, went away. Tell me a little bit about that. Are we missing something here on our conversation?
No. If you tell a lie often enough, I guess they think it becomes true. But the reality is the bulk of additional education spending under Governor Rendell was federal stimulus dollars. The stimulus package that President Obama put on the table early in his administration was not about infrastructure. It was about propping up state governments that had all across the country, but the places like Pennsylvania that had a Democratic governor that increased expenditures by over 50% during his 8 years, and the rate of inflation was about 20%, a little over 20%. They couldn't keep up with it after the recession in 08. So they gave the stimulus money, but it was all gone in 2 years. It was gone. And we were left with just state funding. So the money that was gone was the federal stimulus dollars. We, under Tom Corbett, and we increased the dollars on public education by $100 million each and every year, for a total of $400 million, 100, 100, 100, 100.
Right.
In this budget that we put on the governor's desk, in all of the lines of public education, not just basic ed, in all the lines, we increased it by about $400 million as part of our 3.5% plus growth over last year's spend. And then Secretary Hanger's running around saying it's a 95, and these independent ads are saying it's a $95 million cut. That is, Gary, it's a lie.
Yeah.
L-I-E, lie. The governor had, there's a line item in the budget that's called planning and construction. The governor in his own proposal said, let's eliminate that line. We just, you pick winners and losers on reimbursement on construction.
And we've got just about 30 seconds.
We bonded that money and took it offline and are paying it off over 30 years. So it's been technically removed from the general fund budget. It's not even like a standard educational line. We took it off budget. We're paying it off with a bond with the idea that it's going to be eliminated over 30 years. And guess whose idea that was? And guess who did all the bonding and the financing arrangement? It was the governor and his budget secretary,
wow.
Randy Albright.
Unbelievable.
So they're taking that 400 and subtracting and saying, oh, it's a $95 million cut. When you know you can't deal with the truth, you come up with a disingenuous approach, and that's what they're doing.
Mr. Speaker, we have to cut there. We're right at the end of our time, but appreciate you taking the time this morning. You're welcome anytime to come in. We have invited the governor many times or a representative. We have not gotten that yet. Continue good luck on getting the final things settled here, and thank you for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you so much, Gary. It's an honor to be with you.
Take care. Thank you so much. Speaker of the House, Mike Terzai, the Pennsylvania State Assembly. When we come back...